Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing.
Welcome. Welcome, Edward Black, to Iron Age Marketing. I'm Nick P. here. I discovered you on ironage.media. First heard of this Iron Age Marketing thing on probably an episode of Razor Fist. Immediately intrigued. And you actually get the auspicious first interview, Mark.
Oh, nice.
So, welcome.
Okay. Well, we'll get the kinks out right now, and hopefully the subsequent ones go smoother, right?
So we were talking about before we started recording, your particular offering immediately intrigued me, mostly because I love the noir feel. Dark City is one of my favorite movies of all time, specifically because of its like noir but not noir vibe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I immediately was gravitated towards your I Survived the Kali Yuga comic. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it from your perspective as a creator and how you started doing that in the first place?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you bringing me on, and it's good to be here. So I started off on Facebook about 2018 or so, and I was mostly just kind of flitting around various gun groups and whatnot, shit posting basically. And somewhere along the way, I decided to make my own page, and I started doing memes and stuff. And I came up with this concept. It was the 30-year-old greatest generation dude. And it was just kind of a vague general template of myself and like basically every other guy that, you know, kind of has the right of center libertarian mindset of, gun it guys. And that evolved over time as people kind of got more and more into it. And they were laughing along with the little one-off strips I did. Eventually I was like, okay, well, I got an audience now. So how about I introduce you guys to this concept? And I started releasing serials as more and more content was produced, and the serials were more that noir kind of Lovecraftian aesthetic in the vein of like Raymond Chandler meets H.P. Lovecraft kind of thing. And I've been kind of oscillating back and forth between the two of them. I'll take a break from writing the serials for a bit, and then I'll do straight comedy, or I'll do back and forth depending on what my creativity is doing at the time. Yeah, currently I am working on a redraw of the first arc I did, because when I first started, the artwork was absolutely terrible. I had no technical skill whatsoever, and now I'm a little bit better, I think, and I've managed to get it somewhat presentable looking. So doing a redraw, rewrite. It's called Training Day right now. That's on the Duck Web Comics, if you got a link for people. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the best place to start as far as like the core storyline goes. And then from there, they're not exactly a contiguous storyline. They're kind of like just isolated episodic kind of things. But so mm-hmm. you can jump in pretty much wherever after that. But the first arc kind of sets everything up, and it shows people who the characters are, what the idea, the tone is, all that fun stuff.
So you started as a meme lord,
yeah, basically,
and then decided to turn your meme lord status into a comic booker.
Yep, basically, yeah. And it was such a weird transition too, because I used to write books under a different pen name, and those didn't go anywhere. They were just like shitty kind of pulp novels. I don't even think they're on Amazon anymore. And I got basically no sales. So being disheartened by that, I kind of stopped doing the straight just fiction writing, and took a break for a couple of years. And then once I had the audience here, I was like, well, maybe these guys will be interested in the stories I have to tell. And it turns out they were. So
is there any crossover between like what your previous fiction work and what you do now?
tonally, not exactly, they're not like the same universe or anything, but tonally you can see the DNA of it is very much alive and well in the current stuff.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I when I first went to Europe, so I'm like, I mean, it's just a lot of memes. Like, I thought I was looking for a comic book, and
yeah.
I mean, they're good memes, but they're still memes.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of both. The daily satire strips are just kind of like that's content generation. Everybody likes to read those. Everybody gets a kick out of it, and it keeps the audience basically from dropping off. And then on the side, I write the serials, and the serials are kind of like for the more dedicated fan base and people that like, you know, Iron Age media, that kind of stuff. And it's a healthy mix of both. I try to, you know, just see where the creativity takes me and go from there.
I'm curious, so what are the things that kind of inspire you to do what you do? You just have like an unbearable desire to create, or is it more that you have like stories that you just feel like, oh, this would be interesting?
Yes to both. I have always been kind of an avid reader, and I really like the same kind of fiction that you're talking about. And I can see your bookshelf back there. I probably have a lot of the same stuff. And yeah, I thought that some stories just needed to be told. And I also just kind of have a general creative itch that just, you know, needs to be scratched. So, you know, I have an outlet via Photoshop, and I make my comics, and it seems to work pretty well from there. But yeah, another thing, though, is the current slew of content, especially in the comic space, is kind of lacking, I guess, for a polite term.
There's only one guy that I know I can generally count on to give me anything good, and that's Tinian.
Yeah,
and he does good work. Like, the Nice House on the Lake is awesome. Obviously, Something Is Killing the Children is great. So, like, his stuff I know is good. I don't know if you've ever read Truth Department. That one's freaking awesome.
I'll have to check that one out. I haven't heard. Is that a webcomic, or is that
It's a standard comic.
Okay.
I think that's put out by Image.
Oh, cool.
And out of all like the old school comic book companies, like, I think he's all that's on my pull list currently.
Nice. Yeah, Image, Dark Horse, those guys. I think Dark Horse is actually owned by Disney now. But
Tinian writes part of a new Sandman series for DC that wasn't terrible, and called Nightmare Country. Super dark, very graphic.
Is it part of the Vertigo?
It's Black Label, DC.
Oh, Black Label. Okay, all right. Is Vertigo even still around? I know the Preacher was under them for a long time.
But I don't think so. I mean, God, I put it this way, I haven't bought anything from them in a long time.
Yeah, pretty much. But like I said, it is definitely lacking in the creative space, and you get a lot of the same kind of the shit mill, I guess, is kind of churning out the same stuff over and over and over again. And I felt like it was probably time to just offer something else to people that were seeking it out. And, you know, enough people do seek it out that I've built a pretty substantial fan base. It's not enormous, but it's not insignificant.
Well, and I said, like, and I think it could be bigger, because, like, we have definitely mutuals that I'd never heard of even before. So.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely all about that.
So I'm curious, what are some of the biggest problems that you've come across in trying to put out your own material?
So I think the number one issue that I think anybody will face if they're trying to get into this is, like, just physically doing it, like getting up and doing it every day and doing it on a consistent schedule. And, you know, I work a lot. I work pretty much every day. I don't really take days off. I'm on vacation right now, and, you know, it's kind of driving me up the wall because I don't really take time off. It's really weird for me.
Oh, I'm not a vacation guy either. I'd rather be doing something.
Yeah. You know, exactly. I'm a hustler. So that right there, I think you kind of need the hustler mindset a bit to just kind of keep at it and keep consistent and not, you know, lose steam. But the next thing is, if you are kind of like me, where you have basically no talent whatsoever to start, you need to practice, and you need to constantly be trying to refine your techniques. Like I said, I started off, and they were really, really crudely drawn, like MS Paint style, barely cobbled together Photoshop stuff way back when. And over time, I was just like, okay, I'm going to experiment with this technique. I'm going to start drawing in this way. I'm going to use this filter. I'm going to extrapolate these images. And you start building more and more of a style as you go.
Well, and it was definitely you have your own style. Like nothing looks like what you do, because it looks like it's probably more a product of process than intent.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely you have an idea in your head, and rather than like, okay, point A to point B, this is how I'm going to get that idea, you basically kind of be like, okay, point A to point B, that's not working, so I'm going to try to get around this way and see if it gets me basically the same gist of what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah.
So a lot of times you'll have an idea, you'll kind of put it down in the images, and it won't look like what you originally planned, but it'll look something enough like what you had in your mind that, you know, you can keep going forward with it. Because I tell you that the biggest roadblock for like writers and creatives in general is like, if you are trying to make that perfect sentence or that perfect piece, and you're running into a wall, the worst thing you can do is just keep trying that same thing, because it's you're not going to do it, and you're going to, you know, spin your tires and eventually get frustrated and scrap the whole thing.
Oh, I'm not a musician and don't know anything about that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, if you have it in your mind that like at any given point, like I'm not married to this, I can just destroy it and try something else and get to the same general gist of what I was trying to do. That I think will help you out a lot. If you're trying to do something like this.
So, I mean, it's almost like you have to go from a place that the story itself is more important than like the pieces of it. Like we, as long as the story is told, that's the important part. That's what we're trying to get across.
Basically. Yeah. And you know, the bones of it are going to be the bones of it, regardless of what the little minor details are. But you know, there's any number of things you can do to kind of coax that along. And also, you know, try to adopt as many different techniques as you can to get the job done. Like I do a huge combination of things. I will hand draw some stuff out if I have the time to do it. I don't always have the time to do it, but I will. I will use photo manipulation a lot of times. I'll use AI procedural generation. There's any kind of technique available to me, I'm going to exploit, because ultimately my goal is to convey the images and convey the story. And how I get there is really kind of immaterial to that. It's basically like, what is going to work? So while the story, while the imagery and the style is pretty consistent throughout, you'll see minor variations of how I try to get there, because it doesn't always, you know, flow in the way that I would expect, or like I would hope, you know?
Well, it's funny that you say, you know, AI image generation, because the minute I discovered that stuff, I decided I wanted to make greeting cards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's, I had a buddy of mine that was talking about that the other day, and he was saying something like a huge percentage of commission artists are just using AI generation and cleaning up the images and saving themselves like an absolute ass load of time, which is like good on them, I guess. But you know, they're charging industry rates for it, which is kind of hilarious. But
I mean, hey, hustle's a hustle, and exactly. Sure, you know, like I do, that the value is derived a specific way.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's worth what you say it's worth.
Pretty much. So it's it's kind of funny to me that you know, I always, my model so far has been the subscription model, the Patreon model specifically. I always release content for free. It'll always be free. It'll always be publicly available. Everybody has access to it. But the way that you retain a loyal fan base is you don't charge them, but you say like, hey, if you help me out, I can generate more content. And you like seeing this content. So, you know, every little bit helps. And that right there, that has gotten me like a very, very consistent, like dedicated patron following. And I can do this, you know, pretty much full time, you know, outside of my regular job, just because of that model. I think if I started charging like by the book or something like that, or like, you know, an access fee, I think my readership would drop to nothing.
Well, I would say that you don't necessarily have to charge by the book personally. As a kind of someone who likes media, I tend to prefer physical media.
A lot of guys do. Yeah.
And so like, if there's an option to like, even if as a supporter, like, oh, hey, but you can buy a physical copy of this, like, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Just cause I, you know, I like that feeling of laying in my freaking bed and flipping the pages to the book.
Yeah, and I started drawing this current arc, the redraw of issue one, specifically with it in mind that like, okay, I'm going to get this printed because people have been bugging me to get my stuff printed for years. And
yeah,
I've just been like, eventually I'm going to get around to it, guys, I swear. And finally this one, I'm kind of like, all right, this is tabulated in such a way I can actually do that. So eventually when it's finished, it will be available as print. Mm-hmm. How I get there is anybody's guess. But
right on.
Yeah.
Well, I know we all have a great model in, you know, print with Eric July recently. So
yeah, yeah, he's been killing it with Ripaverse. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, I just got the official last pre-order or whatever sent out, like over 49,000 orders.
Yeah, he was a little bit backlogged. I hear. Have you actually read any of it, or was there a sample set out?
I've done a couple walkthroughs on it. It was a little too rich for my blood at the time.
Sure.
I plan on getting it at some point just because it did seem like fun, and who doesn't want to be a part of that?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was a pretty pricey buy-in for where I was financially at the moment.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know, everybody's got the stuff they got to take care of first before they support my ass. So I'm always, you know, very cognizant of that. And, you know, like I said, if you guys can help out, awesome. I really, really appreciate it. If not, don't sweat it. You'll still be able to read it. You'll still be able to enjoy it.
Well, and what's funny is it's like so much of what like this whole Iron Age media movement is about is kind of going after things. I would say almost the exact opposite of the way that people do or the main companies do things now. Like, You talk about, hey, look, it's going to be free. I'll let you guys have it. If you like it, help out.
Yep.
Which is, you know, kind of the opposite of, we're going to make what we want, and you're going to like it. And if you don't like it, we don't care. You're still going to support it that you get from all of the main companies. Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, you're not actively trying to make your fans and your audience hate you.
Yeah,
well, do you feel like that has helped?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the best sales I've experienced for my content over the years has been the fact that everything else kind of sucks. You know, it's a very, very low bar to step over. Fortunately, it's like I don't want to say golden age because it's the Iron Age of comics right now. You can just, you know, basically start doing your own thing, and by default, it is probably going to be better than what's available in the mainstream. Just because they are not trying. I was joking around the other day about you know, AI generation, speaking of in terms of writing, and you're seeing a lot of like mainstream AAA titles look and sound like they were written by, you know, an algorithm.
Yeah.
And the writing team was kind of just, you know, added post hoc to kind of clean it up. But yeah, like that Wakanda Forever movie or whatever the fuck. It's a completely nonsensical plot. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, this landlocked African nation is attacked by fish people.
Like, I mean, if we can start there, but there's a lot more of that movie that didn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, and that's just a start. So it's very interesting to me that you know, this stuff is passing muster, and I think it's honestly just the fact that it's an AI algorithm doing it. They're trying to cut corners over the can. Well,
something else to note specifically about that is, like, it was officially came out today. I think that, like, we have the numbers from, like, the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And they've had a 75% drop in people watching it to Monday, which is huge.
Yeah.
Like, even like, good titles, like, that come out, like, 50 is, like, a pretty rough drop, and 75% is ridiculous, especially when they underperformed at the box office the first weekend anyways.
Oof.
But the other numbers that came out were the percentage breakdown of the ethnicities that actually went and saw the movie. And, well, let's just say the number of white people, percentage-wise, that attended the movie, the first movie versus the second one, well, it's probably not a good idea to actively tell white people not to come see your movies. Unless you want to lose money. So we'll say, I think it went from 35% in the first movie to 19% in the second. So, you know, is Charlie's Angels learned, if you expect people to come see your movie, probably don't tell them don't show up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fan baiting phenomenon has been really interesting because it's kind of one trick pony. You know, once the cat's out of the bag with it, people really don't want to keep doing it. you know, the kind of like aware of the fact that, like, yeah, you're being baited into this divisive thing that they're doing.
Well, what's funny is, like, I mean, I'm married to a Black woman, and, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably got a unique experience there.
It makes her not want to watch stuff just as much as anybody else. So it's...
Well, yeah, nobody likes being pandered to. I mean, it's like, that's just bullshit, man. And it's not even like pandering, but like underneath it all, it's still a good, like, film. Like, I watched the first one the other day, and, you know, I.
Worse than the pandering. Like, so. I'm a Lovecraftian guy. Horror is my thing.
Your jam, yeah.
My wife is a Tolkien fanatic.
Yeah, it's great.
And, you know, all that representation sure as hell didn't make her want to watch, you know, whatever the hell the Rangs of Kangs or whatever it's called there.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously you can't enjoy anything unless the people, you know, look like you. That's you know, the message we all take away from that, right? You
like, I watched all the recaps of the episodes on Friday Night Tights, and she was just losing her mind here, having to listen to what they were doing to her beloved Tolkien.
Yeah, it's like zombie Simpsons bad. Yeah, man, I can only imagine, because, you know, I'm, you know, you and I are both in the demographic that, like, nobody gives a shit about anymore. But, like, if you're in that prime, like, this is your target right here, and, like, they think it's shit, like, that's saying something, you know?
Well, like, you know what you say, like, we're in the demographic that no one cares about. We're also the demographic that has held up these particular media types for the past 40, 50 years.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Who do you think buys comic books? It's... I hate to break it to you. It's not that not that girl in Ugg boots. It's bearded guys like you and I.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Spend way too much time thinking about old stuff.
It's absolutely wild. Like the preppy girls, I guess, never stopped hating the nerds. They just started adopting their culture to, you know, shit on it more effectively.
I have some interesting observations about that. One of my favorite stories is, so as a musician, like, I play out and do acoustic stuff periodically, make money doing the cover stuff, so it's fun. Yep. And I had a gig a couple, maybe a year or two ago, and I love breaking out some My Chemical Romance and like Coheed and Cambria during my sets. And I was dying. There's this girl in the front row, you know, with her, I would assume, like, a lawyer or investment banker boyfriend. She's, you know, got the fur and the Ugg boots on, and she's just screaming Stevie Nicks at me all night, okay? And all it takes is one My Chemical Romance song, and it's nothing but scene bands the rest of the night she's screaming about. And it's like, oh, I get what happened here. You just decided to buy in.
Yeah, yeah. You saw which way the wind was blowing.
It's like, I see what you see, like, the straightened hair now. And, like, oh, but that used to be black straightened hair. I get it here.
Yeah, yeah. It's not coinophilia. What was it? Where they, I guess it is coinophilia, where they're all, like, blending in the same color.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, safety in the numbers there.
I mean, and there's certainly something to be said for that if that's the way people want to go. But if you want to sell books to people, it's probably not the audience to go for. They're really fickle.
Yeah, and they're not reading your shit anyway. Like, they're not the ones buying it. They're just the ones bloviating on Twitter about it.
Sadly. And as much as they bloviate on Twitter on it, like, they're not the ones with the money. You know, God, and how hard has it been for Disney to swallow? Like, you took... Huge, like, it has to be on purpose that they're just willing to throw crap under, like, the bus and, like, get rid of all of their fans. I can't understand why you would approach, like, these billion-dollar franchises and not hope they'll keep making money for you in the future by getting rid of all the people that made money on them for the past 50, 60 years.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with Critical Drinker, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. So they had something on where he was talking about the different phases of like, genres, I guess, in Hollywood. And, you know, there's, like, the emergent phase, and everybody's, like, really into it. And then it hits, like, that kind of golden era where, like, it's just completely hit its stride and is all pervasive. And then you get kind of, you know, the pushback a little bit where it's, like, the deconstructivism period. And then you get, like, the last stage where it's kind of, like, stuff like Unforgiven, you know, like, mm-hmm. like the old... like it's seeing itself out kind of thing. Yeah. And then you enter like into parody stage and then it just goes away. So it's interesting. Kind of we're in the burnout phase right now. And it's kind of like veering into those last kind of remnants of the genre before it kind of just disappears. Because, you know, superhero movies aren't, you're not going to see them around in 20 years. They will go dormant like Westerns did or World War II movies. You know, it is just kind of like a cyclical thing. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, Disney in particular has just like tried to wring out every possible penny out of the thing and doing it in really weird deconstructivist ways to try to like get different avenues of income coming in from different, I guess, perspectives. And it's just, it hasn't played well for them. All the stuff that they've done with that has been kind of shit. So I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to go on. I guess until the billions just invert, you know.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't want to make these episodes too long. So we're going to start pulling things in. I'm curious if there's like creators out there that you think people really should be checking out that are kind of under the radar. And I don't care if it's comics, movies, books, whatever.
Yeah. I could give you minutes and minutes of dead air thinking about that. Right off the bat, you know, the guys on YouTube, like the heavy hitters right now, like Critical Drinker, I mentioned Eric July, Razor Fist, they're all coming out with their own pulps and novels, and I think even Critical Drinker is making a movie at the moment. I think he just raised.
Yeah, he's got a short film for.
Yeah, it's.
His character.
Yeah, like 100K or something like that right now. It was a lot of money raised for it. So
my wife's actually read at least one of his books.
Are they any good? I haven't
it's not my kind of genre.
Airport fiction kind of stuff.
it's Jason Bourne kind of stuff. And it's okay. Not me. Like I like the first two seasons of Fringe.
Yeah.
And like the first five seasons of The X-Files.
Gotcha. Yeah, the weird stuff. No, I get it. But
yeah.
In general, though, like even if their particular genres that they're doing aren't your cup of tea, I think what they're doing is important. And I think it's worth checking out. And that's kind of like where I'm at right now. I could probably give you a lot more examples if I had the time to think about it, but just off the top of my head, you know.
Yeah, you had no idea that question was coming. And I'm going to be honest, 20 minutes ago, I didn't have an idea that question was coming.
Yeah,
it just seemed
like
a question to ask.
Yeah. So that's, there is definitely stuff out there like Iron Age Media, where you found me. They're releasing stuff like all the time. And it's some of it's going to be great.
Been reading it myself, and some of the stuff that's because they're doing those weekly prompts and stuff. And there's definitely interesting stuff that's just been coming in with people writing to the page.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely got a lot of potential. I think now's the time, especially if you're in the creative space, to try. The worst that can happen is like it doesn't go really anywhere and you're not very successful at it, but at least you're no worse off than you would have done, 5 years ago. So give it a shot. You might succeed.
Well, thank you so much for coming on here, Edward. And, can we get some links or where you send people to look at your stuff?
Yeah. There's the Facebook page is for my daily satire strips, memes, basically. And then the Duck Web Comics, ISTKY. All my serials are there, and you can read them pretty much out of order. I recommend you start with the current arc, which is Training Day.
We're on. Well, we'll see if we can get some people over to look what you're doing.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.